Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. I am the Ascended Master, Mother Mary. I represent the Divine Mother for Earth. Why have we not said anything about the situation that is now on everyone's minds? Well, because we have said many things previously, but who has paid attention to it except our direct students? Has the world paid attention? Would the world have paid attention no matter what we had said? So you see here that this situation with the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a textbook example of the school of hard knocks. Only when the knocks become so hard that they cannot be ignored will people shift their consciousness. And so one could argue that since the consciousness now has shifted decisively, what is there to say? And again, will the world pay any attention to what the Ascended Masters say? Well, certainly the world at large will not. But at least our direct students will. And of course, as always, everything that is spoken in the physical, that is heard by you, that is multiplied by your chakras, will go into the collective consciousness. So, why have we not had you, our direct students, make decrees and invocations on this situation? Because again, the school of hard knocks means that sometimes situations need to be allowed to outplay themselves so that people cannot ignore them. Literally, if you look at this situation and look at the major forces that had the decision-making power in this situation, there was nothing your cause could have done to change the outcome. There are, of course, many ways to describe this situation. Let me take, as a start, a very general one. We have said before that you live in a time where there needs to be a shift in the collective consciousness that is one of the most significant shifts that has happened in what you call known history. The shift can be described in many ways, and I will describe it in different ways, but one is, of course, a shift towards the Golden Age consciousness of Saint Germain. And what will it take for this shift to happen? It will take that the forces that are opposing the shift, that are out of alignment, out of attunement with Saint Germain, they must outplay their imbalances to a greater and greater extreme, thereby making them more and more obvious for all to see, eventually even being outplayed in some instances to such an extreme that the unbalanced people themselves can see that it has gone too far. They, of course, the instigators of the lack of balance, will be the last ones to see it, but that isn't really what matters. What matters is the shift in the collective consciousness. Now, let us step back and start with a historical perspective. There are many ways to describe the mission of Jesus as he inaugurated the Piscean Age on earth. We have ourselves described it, and Jesus has described it in many different ways. But one way is to look at what has happened over the past 2,000 years. The Piscean Age, at the time of Jesus, part of the world where Jesus appeared was dominated by the Roman Empire. You saw how throughout the last 2,000 years, a great number of empires have arisen. The Roman Empire transformed into the Catholic Empire. Then there was a Muslim Empire, a Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the German Empire, the British Empire, the Russian Tsarist Empire. Empire after empire has arisen throughout these 2,000 years. What is an empire? Well, it is a centralized structure, often led by one man, but certainly always dominated by a small group of people, what we have called a power elite. You, of course, as our direct students, know our teachings about the fallen beings, so you know that an empire is always started and maintained by the fallen beings. So one way to look at Jesus' mission is to say that he came to inaugurate a cycle where humankind would free itself from the influence of, ultimately, the fallen beings, but to use a more universal language, power elites, where the people, the general population, would free themselves from being dominated by one power elite after another, where the people would free themselves from being pulled into the armed conflicts where an aspiring power elite attempted to overthrow an established power elite. And then if they were successful, the aspiring power elite now became the established power elite. And after some time, a new aspiring power elite emerged and they attempted to overthrow the previous power elite. You can see once you are freed from the veil that the power elites have attempted to put on history, how this pattern has repeated itself time and time again. So Jesus came, and he said it, "For judgment I am come," to bring the judgment whereby people could free themselves from these power elites. But how can the people free themselves? Well, again, Jesus brought in a somewhat veiled form, because of the collective consciousness at the time, the methods for doing this. Primarily, turn the other cheek. Seek the kingdom of God within you, instead of seeking power, prestige, respect, admiration in this world. Seek the kingdom of God within, instead of seeking to be special among men. And so if people had followed these, this could have been enough to free themselves from the power elites. Now, when you look at the world, you see that many people have actually done this. You see that there has been a gradual raising of the collective consciousness throughout these last 2,000 years. How do you see this? Well, it can be difficult for many people to see, because those who have raised themselves above a certain level of consciousness forget how it was to be below that level, often because this happens over various lifetimes. And so you have a situation in the world today where you have a division. There is a certain dividing line, and a large majority of the people in the world, and I'm not talking about specific countries or specific continents or regions, a large majority of the people in the entire world have risen themselves above this line. And they find it difficult to believe that so many people are still below that line. They find it difficult to imagine how these people think. Now, if you look at the present situation with the invasion of Ukraine, many, many people around the world are wondering, what is Putin thinking? What was his motives? What does he want in Ukraine? Why is he doing this? And they look at the situation with their state of consciousness, often trying to come up with some rational explanation for why this is happening. And they cannot find a rational explanation, and therefore there is right now a tremendous sense of confusion. Why is this happening? What is the reason? Well, my beloved, what if there is no reason that can be understood by the mind that has raised itself below, beyond, above that critical line? Once you raise yourself above a certain line, you look at life with a specific perspective. You become more open to reason, what Jesus often applied with his disciples, with those who followed him. He even tried to apply it with the scribes and Pharisees. And you can see when you look at the Bible that the scribes and Pharisees could not follow Jesus' reasoning process. They were sometimes stunned by it, but they could not follow him. Why? Because Jesus was above that critical line of consciousness, and they were not. And so they could not grasp what Jesus was saying, as many people throughout the 2,000 years have not been able to grasp what Jesus was saying, including many of those who call themselves Christians, including the power elite who to this day rules the Vatican. And so, what you in a sense see over the last 2,000 years is that there has been this gradual shift in consciousness. And as I said, it can be difficult for people to realize what has happened, but the proof that this has happened is primarily the emergence of democratic nations. The age of Pisces started with empires. And up until the First World War, it was dominated by empires. But the First World War brought a shift that, in a sense, ended the age of empires. Now you will say, well, wasn't the Soviet Union an empire? Of course it was. Wasn't the British Empire an empire? Of course it was. But the Tsarist Empire ended with the First World War. So did the German, the Austro-Hungarian, the Ottoman. And the British Empire started an irreversible decline. And so you see here that if you look at this period from a purely historical perspective, you can see that the shift that has happened in the outer world has been a shift from empires to nation states. And even a shift from nation states dominated by a dictator or a small power elite to nation states who have a, at least somewhat, democratic form of government. In other words, what really has happened is a shift from the planet being dominated by various power elites to where the people have attained more and more power. So if you look as a historian at these last 2,000 years, you can see that the trend is very, very clear. Empires are losing the battle for control of the earth, and democracy is winning. I know very well that if you look at the world today, you will see that there are certain people who claim that this is not the case, that dictatorships and autocracies are mounting a larger and larger challenge to democracy. Certainly, Putin himself believes this. He believes that he is destined to play a role in history in terms of continuing the age of empires. The Chinese leadership have similar beliefs, as do others around the world. They are completely out of touch with historical reality. They are going against a 2,000-year trend in the collective consciousness that cannot be stopped by any force on earth. The shift in the collective consciousness is irreversible. The age of empires will not come back. So why is this happening, you say? Because, as I said, those who are unbalanced must be allowed to outplay their unbalance, which makes them believe they are winning, and which, of course, makes some people believe they are winning. So why are they being allowed to outplay this? Because, as we have said before, the fallen beings, the power elite, service substitute teachers. What is the purpose? It is that the historical necessity, so to speak, is to produce a shift in the consciousness of that part of the population who are still below the critical line. And how will you produce this shift? That is the question. Can we of the Ascended Masters say anything to people below that line that they would even hear? Can those people who are above the line say anything to these people that they will hear? You cannot. They will not hear it because they are unwilling to hear it through words. They are unwilling to learn from other people. And so, another way to look at the development over the past 2,000 years is what we have described before in terms of the dynamic between what we have called the basic humanity and the essential humanity. Again, we can go back to Jesus. What was his teachings all about? Well, Jesus had two levels of teachings. He taught the multitudes in parables and expounded all things to his disciples. Of course, the hope was that as the Piscean Age progressed, more and more people would be able to hear Jesus' higher message. And indeed, this has happened. That is why so many people have risen above that critical line. So, the general level of teaching that Jesus gave relates to what we have called the basic humanity. The simplest credo for this is, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. This is, as we have said before, very simple. There are certain things you don't do to other people. To be more specific, you do not kill, you do not torture, but also you do not force, you do not overpower, you do not show cruelty, you are not insensitive to other people. And therefore, if you yourself does not want to be forced and dominated, you don't do this to others. Now, there is, of course, a twist here. That is that there are people who want to be dominated because they do not want to make their own decisions. And so, what do you do with these people that cannot hear? Well, that is where the power elite comes in. They will dominate these people. And what have you seen throughout the ages? The Roman emperor sat in his palace on that hill in Rome and was not the one who was out there fighting the Germanic tribes or other people on the outskirts of the Roman Empire. There is no danger that the power elite will ever get their hands dirty. So how can a power elite build an empire? Well, only because there are people who are willing to blindly, uncritically follow the power elite. And these people have the insensitivity to life that makes them willing to kill and suppress other people. And so what you see is that there is still in the world today a certain number of people, a minority certainly, but not a small minority, that are in this state of consciousness. They have a certain insensitivity to life. They are willing to kill other people if they are given a so-called just cause by their ruler, whom they have decided to follow blindly. And so you see that the development of the world can be described in terms of this dynamic of how many people have risen above that critical level where they have acquired that basic humanity, but it can follow the call to do unto others. Now, of course, once you raise yourself above that line, you become open to understanding the higher level of teaching that Jesus gave, which relates to the essential humanity, which is where you realize that you are not a human being. You have the potential to systematically raise your consciousness to a higher level, which ultimately is the Christ consciousness that Jesus demonstrated. As we have said many times, Jesus was an example to follow for those who had raised themselves and acquired the basic humanity. Then you can begin to work on the essential humanity. So, back to the situation with Russia and Ukraine. If you look at the situation again in a historical perspective, you can see that in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the world was dominated by a handful, or at least the Western world, we should say, was dominated by a handful of these empires. The Tsarist Empire in Russia, the Austria-Hungarian Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the German Empire, the British Empire, and some aspiring empires here and there. Why did these empires fall? Well, again, simply historical necessity. You can look at these empires and you can look at the populations that were the main populations of these empires. And you can ask yourself, have they shifted above that critical line? Has the collective consciousness of these people shifted above that critical line, where they have acquired that basic humanity? And to make this more specific, you see that the British Empire did not really shift during the Second World War because they thought they were fighting a just war against the evil of Nazism, and they thought that anything that had their power to do was justifiable, such as the firebombing of Dresden and many other atrocities and war crimes that had no military purpose. This was a clear example of a lack of basic humanity. You attack civilians in order to punish the German people for their support of Hitler. Not basic humanity. What really started to shift the British Empire was India and Gandhi, and how he made the lack of humanity of the British people visible so that even the British people could see it. In other words, you had a situation here where the British people claimed to be a highly civilized nation, the most advanced nation in the world in their own eyes, and Gandhi made them see the disparity, the hypocrisy, the inconsistency, the contradictions in their self-image. Then, of course, you have the Germans. Again, you go back and see before the First World War how the Germans had the sense of superiority, the sense of being special, the sense of being entitled to a special position in the world. The defeat in the First World War did not really shift the collective consciousness, which is why Hitler could take over. And then Hitler took a majority of the German people into what you all know with Nazism. And until the Holocaust became widely known, the German collective consciousness did not shift. But after it became known, it did shift. And so what you see here is that you have people in a former British Empire, in a former German Empire, where the collective consciousness has shifted so that they are now above that level of basic humanity, have started moving towards the essential humanity, and these are therefore what you could call modern democratic nations. Now, you look to Russia, and you see that it is really meaningless to say which of these empires had the lowest collective consciousness before the First World War. But what we can say very clearly is that the collective consciousness in Russia was very low, a very high level of insensitivity to life, a very high level of cruelty towards other people. And so you see that even though the Tsarist Empire fell, the collective consciousness of the Russian people did not even really start shifting. And very quickly the Bolsheviks took over. And what could have been a shift in the collective consciousness of the Russian people was brutally beaten down by Stalin and Red Terror. You can say that the Red Terror of Stalin was certainly one of the most extreme outpicturings of the lack of humanity, the lack of basic humanity. And so you see that there was a certain development that took place in England, in Germany, since the First World War, continuing to today. Now, it is by no means so that the Russian people are incapable of making that shift. And if it had not been for the Soviet Union, the creation of the Soviet Union, then they would have made the shift out of the inhumanity and to the basic humanity. But this shift was delayed among the proper or Russian people by the Soviet Union. You see, of course, that the Soviet Union, despite the word union, was not a union at all. It was an empire that was forced by brutal force, by brutal suppression. And what happened was that there was a core of the Soviet empire that was what you normally, and in their own eyes, the Russian people called, this was Russia, this was the Russians. We, the Russians, were in control of the Soviet Empire. So you had some of these republics or Warsaw Pact countries that were suppressed by the Soviet Union, where you had people who clearly felt that they were conquered, they were suppressed, they were forced by Russia, by the Russian people. And what started to happen in many of these nations is that as a result of this brutal suppression, and truly it was more brutal than most people in Russia even today have been willing to recognize. So as a result of this brutal suppression, many of these people, if they had not already done that before being conquered, they started separating themselves from the Russian people. And as a result, the collective consciousness started increasing, started rising in those outlying republics to varying degrees. But you see, many people in these republics who clearly identified the brutality, the lack of humanity of the Russian people who were in charge of the Soviet Union, and they started saying, we cannot allow ourselves to do this. We have to raise ourselves above this. And that is why you saw that as soon as the Soviet Union collapsed, virtually all of these republics did everything they could to distance themselves from Russia. It was clear that they did not want to ever again be dominated by, be exposed to the brutality and the inhumanity of the Russian people. These are simply facts. I know that as I'm saying this, shockwaves are going through the collective consciousness of Russia. Even many people in Russia, if they were ever to hear or read this, they would violently rebel against it and say, this isn't true. We are not inhumane. And of course, it's true. Not all people in Russia are inhumane or insensitive to life. But I am not talking about all people. I'm not stereotyping. I'm not generalizing. I'm talking about the collective consciousness. If you want proof of this, ask yourself a simple question. Look at many of these previous Warsaw Pact countries and former Soviet republics. Look at the development that has happened in those countries economically, in terms of the standard of living of the people, but also politically in terms of the freedoms enjoyed by the people. And then ask yourself, what has happened in Russia as a contrast? Surely the 90s was a turbulent, chaotic period, but it was in all of the former Soviet republics. But they still managed to raise themselves above it. What happened in Russia? Well, Putin happened in Russia. And he started reversing the trend. And what is the trend, as I said? It's the historical shift from the age of empires to the age of democracy. Now, as I said, how does an empire conquer territory? Because there is enough people that will go along with him. How did Putin take power? How did he rewrite the Russian Constitution, which is actually a beautiful document? Because enough people in Russia either supported it or did not object to it, as they would have done in most of the former Soviet republics. Not all, but most. And so you see here that, again, a critical mass of the Russian people are below that level of basic humanity, or Putin could not have taken power and could not have turned Russia back towards an imperial state, an empire. And so many people, even as Senate Master students in Ukraine and elsewhere, have wondered, is there some connection between the Russian and Ukrainian people? Is there some karmic connection that has precipitated this situation with the Russian invasion? I am deliberately not saying special military operation. And so, is there? Well, you all know this, the story of the Kievan Rus that are claimed to basically be an empire situated in Kiev, wherefrom the people migrated to Belarusia and the Moscow area, and therefore founded the modern states of Belarus and Russia, as well as Ukraine. And so you could say, is there a karmic relationship? Not really. The Kievan Empire was an empire, which means there was not a homogeneous population that inhabited the entire empire. There were many different tribes at the time that were suppressed by force and therefore became part of this empire, as you saw throughout of Europe and many parts of the world. You will see that there has never been an empire that really was homogeneous, because what has happened is that you have a certain group of people that starts expanding their influence by taking over other groups of people. And so how can you have a homogeneous empire? Many different tribes, many different peoples have been incorporated in the empire. You look at what you today call Russia, and you see that east of the Urals, are these really what you would normally call Russians? And is that why they are dominated by Russia, and why the Russians west of the Urals are reaping the major economic benefits of the gas and oil that is taken out of there? But anyway, you see that there is really no homogeneous population anywhere. And why is this? Because, again, if you look at this historically, there has been a trend towards diversification. We have said that there used to be a few empires that have now been replaced by nation states. Well, you cannot fail to see when you look at this that there has also been a trend that nation states are increasingly becoming democratic. And what does that mean? Well, you could say, will there not be any large nations or collections of nations in the future? Well, certainly there will be, as you already see in the United States and the European Union. But what is happening here is that instead of having an empire that is created through force, you now have a diversification into many smaller nation states. And because they are smaller, they see the need to cooperate. And once you raise yourself above that level and acquire the basic humanity, you can begin to cooperate. What is the need of force when you have the basic humanity? Because you see that cooperation actually goes further than force ever could. There are many, many people throughout the ages who have looked at Jesus, who walked the desert, said, turn the other cheek, and he allowed himself to be captured and crucified. And they have said, oh, Jesus was weak. Christians are weak. Christianity is a weak religion. But that is because they are below that level of humanity where they think that force is stronger. You have the theory of evolution, which talks about the survival of the fittest. Basically, all of the people who are below that critical level and don't have the basic humanity, they believe in this because they believe that they are the strongest. They are the most willing to use force. They are the most brutal, and therefore they are the fittest to survive. What does Jesus demonstrate? No amount of force can withstand the judgment of Christ. Because the judgment of Christ is beyond the material world, and force is of the material world. We have given many teachings on the interplay between the expanding force of the Father and the contracting force of the Mother. Well, you can only build an empire by perverting the Mother realm, the matter realm. You're building an empire in matter. How are you going to withstand the spiritual force? And for that matter, how are you going to withstand the force of the collective consciousness? And so you see here that if you want to say, as Vladimir Putin fancies himself of saying, that you are an astute student of history, well, you can clearly see the trend. Force is retreating. Cooperation and union are increasing, and they will win. So, back to the situation of Ukraine, the Ukrainian people. Well, you can, of course, say that the current borders of Ukraine were artificially created by Lenin and the Bolsheviks. And you can, of course, debate whether there are certain parts of Ukraine that are overwhelmingly ethnic Russians, and you can debate whether the borders should be redrawn. But you cannot deny that there is a substantial area in which the overwhelming part of the population have a clear national identity as Ukrainians. This was built even before the First World War, even during the Tsarist Empire, going way back, even going back to the Kievan Rus. And so you see that even during the Soviet times, there was an increase in the national identity of the Ukrainian people. And there was also a raising of the collective consciousness, instead, where they were moving away from the brutality and the inhumanity towards that greater sense that there are certain things that have been done to us that we cannot allow ourselves to do to other people. And what was the very big dramatic event in Ukrainian history that accelerated this movement? Well, it was the Holodomor, the forced starvation enacted by Stalin, where the Ukrainian people clearly experienced that this was the Russians that did this to them. There is no other way to look at this. I know that the Russians are in complete denial about this, even to this day. The Soviet Union, even after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia has not even considered making an excuse for this. And so there was a growing awareness among the Ukrainian people that we cannot ever allow ourselves to do something like this to other people. And so if you look at the reality of the situation when the Soviet Union was dissolved, the Ukrainian people were actually higher than the general Russian people in terms of moving away from the brutality and towards the basic humanity. Now, you can find many examples of cruelty in Ukraine, and therefore you can say that the Ukrainian people had not moved that far beyond the Russian people. And if, again, you want a brutally honest example of this, you can see that the Baltic nations and certain other former republics managed to accelerate themselves to the point where they could become members of NATO and the EU in the early 2000s. And if Ukraine and the Ukrainian people had been able to make the similar transition, they could also have become members of NATO in 2004. And that would certainly have changed the current dynamic. Now, the fact that this didn't happen shows that Ukrainian people certainly have a challenge. But there has, of course, since 2004, been growth in Ukrainian people, as especially witnessed by the peaceful revolutions that have taken place. And so you see that currently the Ukrainian people, when you look at the collective consciousness, are higher than the Russian people. Now again, many people in Russia have already moved above that critical line, but not enough people have done so. And what is the proof? The proof is that it is Russian troops that are invading Ukraine, not Ukrainian troops heading for Moscow. And so you can then say, Well, how could this happen? If the Ukrainian people have a higher level of collective consciousness than the Russians, how could they be invaded? How could they deserve to be invaded? Well, first of all, as I said, the Ukrainians have not completely made the transition. But the more important reason is that you will often see that there are certain people, certain groups of people, who take on a certain role in the world. We have before talked about the Japanese people taking on the role of being willing to be exposed to nuclear weapons in order to demonstrate to the world the effect of nuclear weapons. And likewise, the Ukrainian people, in a way you could say, if you want to go back to the Kievan Rus, you can say that there was a certain group of people that stayed centered around Kiev that vowed to take on a certain role in connection to those people who settled in Moscow. And it was to somehow mirror back to them their own state of consciousness. And so you see, why was the Holodomor precipitated upon the Ukrainians? Because the Ukrainians have volunteered to suffer this atrocity as a way to mirror back to the Russian people the insensitivity to life, the brutality, the lack of humanity in the Russian collective consciousness. The same thing with Chernobyl, the same thing with the present situation. Now, again, look back to the time of empires, and the most drastic example is Germany. What happened in Germany after the Holocaust was exposed and could no longer be hidden even to the German people? What happened was that the German people were so shocked by this that they overcame the pride, the arrogance that you clearly see during Nazi times. They overcame this sense that they were special and they were entitled to a special position. What does this arrogance, this sense of being special, prevent people from doing? Looking in the mirror, looking at themselves, looking at the beam in their own eye, as Jesus said it 2,000 years ago. Were the Nazis, the German people during Nazism, willing to look at the beam in their own eye? Certainly not. Were the British, during the height of the British Empire, willing to look at the beam in their own eye? Certainly not. But what has happened since then is that both of these people, and many other people in Europe, have been willing to look at the beam in their own eye and say, we can never allow something like this to happen again in our nation. And that is why they have made the progress they have made, even the progress in the standard of living of the people. Now, you look honestly, brutally honestly, at Russia after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Has Russia made any attempt whatsoever to look at itself and say, how could this happen in Russia? How could it go so far in Russia? How could we have a situation where so many people in Russia were willing to be the henchmen of Stalin and imprison, torture and kill their own countrymen? Now, you may say that one measure for the lack of humanity is what a group of people will do to others that they see as different from themselves. But the real measure is, what do they do to themselves? You saw during Nazism, yeah, there was a big focus on what the Nazis did to the Jews. But consider what the Nazis did to the German people in terms of suppressing their freedom, forcing them to fight, and all of these things. Then consider what the communists did to the Russian people. Then consider that Germany, England, and other nations have attempted, at least, to make apologies and make restitutions for what they did. Has Russia done so? Has Putin shown any willingness to even take responsibility for the Soviet brutality, the Soviet suppression, Nay, in his latest speech, he blamed Ukrainians for not being willing to pay back the debt of the Soviet Union. But did Ukrainians decide to create this debt, or was it the Russian people centered in Moscow? Who was responsible? If you look at Putin's speech, you will see that he seems to be confused. Sometimes he makes it seem like if there was any mistakes or any atrocities that happened during Soviet times, it was Lenin's fault or the Communist Party's fault. But it was not Russia's fault. Somehow it seems that Russia and the Russian people had some mystical existence during Soviet times, so that they are somehow not at all responsible for what happened during Soviet times. That, my beloved, that unwillingness by the leader is a mirror of the unwillingness of the people to look in the mirror. And that is why Putin is in power. Putin has taken Russia in the direction he has taken Russia. Why the standard of living is as low as it is. And why he had to invade Ukraine. As we said, those who are unbalanced must become more and more extreme until it becomes obvious how unbalanced they are, how inhumane they are. Because what is it I mean when I say that they are imbalanced? Well, they are imbalanced in the sense that they do have not acquired the basic humanity. And so what you see, of course, in the present situation is that for a number of years now, the world has been aware of what Putin has been doing, and especially what he has been saying. And of course, as is in a way understandable, people in the democratic world have tended to ignore some of the things, the aggressive things that Putin has been saying or doing, hoping that eventually Russia would join the upward movement towards becoming a fully modern state. And what has happened now is, of course, that there has been a dramatic shift that could not have been produced in any other way. Putin said, "I hope I have now been heard." And he has. He has been heard in a way he has not been heard before. But it is, of course, not the way he wanted to be heard. He wants the world to acknowledge that he and Russia are special, have a special place in the world, and deserve special treatment. But this is the empirical consciousness. What is the democratic consciousness? It is that all men and women are created equal, and that they had been endowed by rights that no one has the authority to take away from them. So what is cooperation? It is at least an attempt to cooperate among equals. You can debate how successful it is, but nevertheless, there is a sincere attempt in the democratic world to have cooperation among equals without anyone claiming special status and entitlement to special treatment. There is at least an attempt at this. And this is what the world has now realized. They have so far heard Putin say these things, but they have given him the benefit of the doubt that he probably didn't mean it. And now that doubt has been shattered by him. And so it remains to be seen how the world will shift as a result of this. But the real question is, how will the collective consciousness in Russia shift as a result of this? And of course, again, a substantial part of the Russian population have already made the shift into the basic humanity. That is why they are shocked by this. But you see, the brutal reality is, as I have said before, the people in Russia who have acquired basic humanity are not the ones who are keeping Putin in power. It is the still majority of the Russian population who have not shifted, who are not shifted out of this very specific dynamic where, number one, you do not have the humanity that makes you sensitive to other people, and at the same time you have the desire to have a special status. You want other people to respect you. If you've acquired the same level of basic humanity that they have, they would automatically respect you. But since you don't have that, they cannot and they will not respect you. So you think that instead of having them respect you as equals, you will settle for them fearing you because you are willing to use the brutality that comes from your lack of humanity. And you think this buys you some form of respect. Of course, it does not. What Putin and many people in Russia do not grasp, is that the democratic world will never respect Russia until Russia acquires the same level of basic humanity as they have in the democratic world. It cannot happen. For that matter, the Chinese leadership do not fathom it either. Neither does Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Neither do any of the states in the Middle East. India barely fathoms it, but they have at least some recognition because of the legacy of Gandhi. And so, the crucial development that can happen here is that those among the Russian people who have raised themselves above that limit, they will speak out, wake up, demand change. And therefore, they will pull the majority of the population up. This would be the highest outcome that can happen. Then there will be a shift, not only in terms of Putin, because, of course, Putin cannot sit there all alone and suppress the Russian people. He needs, again, a certain power elite around him with the oligarchs and the political apparatchiks, but he also needs the people out there in the police force and the secret police who are willing to imprison their own countrymen, who are willing to go out and arrest peaceful protesters and haul them off to jail. And so this can start shifting, and it can be that the shock of Russia invading a nation that is, first of all, no threat to Russia, but is also by many Russian people seen as their brothers, that this will shift the equation. It is a possibility. Now you can say, why aren't we now then having our students make calls for this? Because your calls will not have an effect on those people who are below the line of basic humanity. They will only learn through the school of hard knocks. And if the knock that they have been given now is not sufficient, there will be harder knocks. This is not a threat. It's simply a statement of fact. Because the law of karma has not been rendered null and void by the declarations of the Russian leadership. And so, a question that could be asked is, Putin invaded Crimea in 2014, and since then there has been kind of a stalemate in the eastern part of Ukraine. Why did he suddenly decide to invade? Well, first of all, it wasn't that sudden, but the real reason is, as I've said before, what keeps Putin in power, even in embodiment, is a majority of the Russian people. But the collective consciousness in Russia is shifting. This is in part happening because of our students making the calls and invocations, but it's also happening because of many other spiritual people in Russia, and because many among the Russian people are raising their consciousness, acquiring the basic humanity, and wanting their nation to become a modern nation where they have not only a decent standard of living, but the freedoms to start their own business, build a good life for themselves and their children. There is nothing unreasonable in expecting that you can work hard and build a good life for yourself and for your children, and that this can continue in the indefinite future. This, of course, is what you see in the world at large. You see in a very large part of the world, you see people who, in some cases for generations, in some cases just for a few years, they have entered the mindset where they feel that by making an effort, they can build a better life for themselves and for their children and for their nations, and that this can continue into the future without them being threatened by any external force, such as the wars and conflicts that you have seen ravage this planet time and time again. Many, many people around the world, the vast majority of people around the world, have risen themselves above that level of lack of humanity where they would ever consider going to war or supporting a war. So they cannot be pulled by the power elite into supporting their wars. And therefore they feel they have a right to expect that they can build a better future for themselves and their children without having it suddenly destroyed by war. And this, of course, is what they are now fearing is being threatened by what they see as primarily one man, Vladimir Putin, but which really is being threatened by not only the power apparatus in Russia, but that part of the Russian people who have not shifted to this humanity where they feel they can build a better future. Because if you look at the fact is, most of the Russian people that I'm talking about, they do not have the confidence that their future will be better, that they can make an effort and build a better future for themselves and their children. They think that they will continue to lack, continue to be poor, continue to be at the mercy of whatever the state does to them. Well, this is why they suffered during the Soviet Union. This is why they are continuing to suffer under a different form of empire. If that equation shifts, then Russia will shift. If it doesn't, then the Russian power apparatus, be it Putin or someone else, will keep acting out in more and more extreme ways until the Russians, the majority of the Russian people, will finally be willing to look at their own inhumanity and say, we must change. Why did Putin act now? Well, consciously he has no awareness of this dynamic I have described. But subconsciously he senses that his time is slipping away from him. His opportunity to make the mark that he thinks he is destined to make on history is slipping away. And so, as you see in so many such leaders in history, he could not stop himself. He had to take that one step too far, and the only thing that remains to be seen is how many more steps too far. One thing I will say, an act of caution, is that the Ukrainian people are facing a very delicate challenge right now. As I said, the role they have taken on, which of course they're not consciously aware of, but the role they have taken on is to mirror back the Russians' inhumanity to themselves. This, of course, can best be achieved if they themselves show a higher level of humanity. If they can allow the Russian soldiers, and especially the special forces, the non-military units, to commit atrocities against civilians without answering back with the same level of cruelty, with an eye for an eye, then they will come out ahead. Then they will fulfill their mission. And then Ukraine can take these decisive steps to becoming a modern nation. If they allow the Russian brutality to pull them down, then, unfortunately, the progress of Ukraine will be delayed. So you see, again, there are many delicate considerations here, many delicate perspectives. But we need to step beyond this situation and recognize that there has been what we might call a rude awakening, a shift in the collective consciousness. But we need to recognize here that, as dramatic as this situation seems to many people, it is important that those of you who are direct students do not allow your attention to be drawn away from what we have defined as the major topic for this year, which is the economy. You recognize, I take it, that oil prices and what you pay for gasoline at the pump has gone up. But you see, my beloved, last summer, most of the oil-producing nations, including OPEC, decided to increase their output in order to lower gasoline prices and speed up the economic recovery after the pandemic. So how come you are paying more for gasoline now than you were last summer, before they started pumping more oil? Well, the reason for this is very simple. It is what we have talked about before. The dynamic where there is an elite that is in control of the financial system and that is looking at any way they can to make more money. And these people also do not have basic humanity. They are billionaires who made more money during the pandemic than they would have made if there was no pandemic. This is a fact that anyone can verify if they just look at it. These people have absolutely no humanity. They have no sensitivity to the general population. They have no awareness that we cannot allow ourselves to do this to other people. And so you need to recognize here that why are you paying more for gasoline now than last summer? It's not because there's a lack of oil being pumped out of the ground. It's because there's a lack of oil reaching the consumer. Because there are speculators who are speculating in oil and keeping artificially oil from the market in order to artificially keep prices high so that the oil they bought at lower prices can be sold at higher prices and they can make a quick profit. This is something you can make calls on for the exposure of this, for the judgment of these people, and for the entire consciousness behind this. You can even make calls that the many people in the democratic world who have not awoken to this existence of this financial power elite, that they will be awakened. Some will not, but some can indeed be affected by your calls. And so that there will be a shift in the collective consciousness where there is an awareness of this financial exploitation, we might call it financial warfare, that is being waged on the population. And where the people say, we will not stand for this anymore. And where they demand that their democratic leaders take decisive steps to stop this kind of financial exploitation, which is really what it is. And so this is the bigger picture, the bigger issue for this year, and for that matter for coming years, that the economy is restructured so that it cannot be dominated by a power elite with no sensitivity to the population. If this does not happen, there will be more and more economic crises. You see already now how gas prices have gone up because of the invasion of Ukraine. And so the question is, will people accept this, or will they see the real reason behind it? Because the fact of the matter is that there is enough oil reserves, there is enough production capacity, that prices do not have to go above $60 to $70 per barrel of raw oil, even if you take Russian oil production out of the picture. The world could shut off Russian oil production completely, at least the free democratic world could, and there would still be enough oil to keep prices at a level that would sustain the economic recovery. This is a fact, but it cannot happen with a current level of speculation. So, many more things can, of course, be said. But we always face this challenge of not overwhelming you. I know I have overwhelmed many people. I certainly have overwhelmed many who are not our direct students if they were to read or hear these words. Because the gap between the reality of how the world works and the perception of how the world works that most people have is still very, very large. And so, tying in again to the basic humanity and the essential humanity, you can rise to the point of the basic humanity where there are certain things you will not do to others. And as I said, a majority of the people in the modern world have risen to that level. But it is not really until you rise into the levels of the essential humanity and start raising your own consciousness that you can see this subtle manipulation that has been perpetrated by the fallen beings and a power elite throughout all of known history. You need to have a certain level of essential humanity before you're able to grasp this without being polarized into the black and white thinking, the epic mindset of thinking you have to fight the fallen beings and the power elite. Again, going back to Jesus, he did not fight the power elite. He brought their judgment. And this is the role of you who are direct students and those who raise themselves above a certain level of that essential humanity, to bring the judgment. And this will remove the power elite when the majority of the people shift above the basic humanity level. As long as many people are below that level, well, there will be some power presence of the power elite on the planet, because again, they need to be there to outpicture that consciousness so that people are willing to look at themselves. There's a point when you move into the basic humanity where it is not about looking at the beam in your own eye. When you're below the level of humanity, what you need to come to is that point where you're willing to look at the beam in your own eye. When you go above that level and work on the essential humanity, it is actually not about looking at the beam in your own eye, because you are continually seeking to raise your consciousness, work on your psychology. But it is a matter of coming to that higher level of discernment, as Jesus also expressed 2,000 years ago. You see again how many of the things he said can be interpreted to foreshadow the entire development of the past 2,000 years. What did he say? He said, "Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And this is the challenge for the essential humanity. It is the challenge for you who are direct students. Do not allow yourself to be pulled into these energetic spirals that the fallen beings create in order to divert your attention from their existence and their manipulation. Be wise as serpents. Do not be as the serpents, but be wise to the serpents, and remain harmless as doves, where you can say with Gautama Buddha, "I am the perfect mirror for Earth."